Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Diverse and excellent listen. Lots of little touches here and there throughout that you can like key in on and even notice however many listens later and you're like, oh wait, I didn't realize that little part was there.
Hey everyone, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to today's episode. It is the final installment in the Matthew Suite in the 1990s series put together by Kevin Clement, Nicholas Nygaards, and Justin Steiner. And I just want to take a minute on behalf of Jim to say a huge thanks to those three. Nicholas, in particular, for doing the organizing part. Justin and Kevin, in particular, for amazing insights on Matthew Sweet. Their passion for his music is coming right through, and I've really been enjoying all this week of episodes and learning about these albums. For example, the final part today is on the 1999 album In Reverse, which I have to admit I'd never heard before. And this was a really interesting one for me, especially. So I hope those of you who knew a little bit about Matthew Sweet are gaining some further insights. And those of you who didn't know much about his music beyond maybe a few songs here and there, I hope you're getting a great education, because I certainly am myself. So once again, big thanks to you three so much. I also want to mention that you will hear in the episode a reference to a playlist that the guys put together of songs that's kind of a primer on Matthew Sweet. And you can find that playlist, a link to it on Spotify, on our webpage for this episode. So if you go to suburbspod.com, click on this episode. It should be titled Matthew Sweet in the 1990s in Reverse. Click on that, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the link embedded right there to the playlist, where you can go and follow that playlist and add it to your own collection to get a good dose of Matthew Sweet whenever you need it. All right, and with that, one small piece of business. I want to remind you that on Sunday, the 16th of August is coming up. That's the deadline for July 2026 new music picks. So get in your picks for new music from July. I know Jim's got a bumper crop of songs, and he may do a couple of episodes to kick us off. So it's going to be a bountiful week of new music picks, and I think everybody's going to enjoy that. And then following that, we will start to get into some of the recordings we made at Suburbs Fest Knoxville, and hopefully everybody will enjoy that as well, because we certainly had a lot of fun putting it all together. Okay, with that, I'm going to turn the tape over now to Kevin, Niklas, and Justin for Matthew Sweet in the 1990s, Part 5.
All right, welcome everybody to Day 5 of Matthew Sweet Week. We're covering all five of his albums from the 90s. And today we're going to be talking about In Reverse. And Niklas, I think you had some information on that album.
I've got some information on that album. I definitely do. And hey, Justin, as well. You're still here. Awesome.
Still here.
For day five.
Justin,
yes.
Hey, Justin. Sorry.
All good.
We are on day five, so now we are exhausted, but we'll power through and cover In Reverse as well. In Reverse was released on October 12th, 1999, so just a couple of months before the millennium, the new millennium. In Reverse, the cover art is actually upside down if you hold the CD in that sort of way. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about the cover art first. You obviously have to look this up, this being a podcast and everything. But it's a painting by a woman called Margaret Keane. She painted this in 1963 and it's called Yesterday's Dollhouse. So Matthew Sweet had permission from a museum somewhere in, was it San Francisco maybe? I'm just guessing now, so look it up, peoples. Anyway, this album is sort of, it's still pop, but it's another direction when it comes to production and recording. On a few of the, I think 4 or 5 tracks on this album, Matthew has like 15, 16, 17 musicians in the studio at the same time playing live. And going for that sort of Phil Spector-esque soundscape sort of thing. And I think he pulls it off pretty brilliantly, actually.
Oh, well, yeah, totally. I mean, this is definitely, as you said, a different sound for him. It's very, very sprawling, I think, right? It's kind of very wide in scope, right?
Yes.
Taking in all sorts of instrumentation, and the liner notes are just full of people, you know, as you mentioned. And he produces this with, you know, some members of the band at this point too, right? Fred Marr is back in on production, as well as a couple of others. And for my money, I think this one might be the most underrated album in Matthew Sweet's catalog. But I don't know. For whatever reason, right, after being out and not picking up Blue Sky on Mars, when this one came out, I was like, well, yeah, it's Matthew Sweet. I need to buy it. And I fell in love with this one immediately. And those are opening songs, too. I love how they just kind of roll right into each other, right? One song kind of bleeds into the next, the first 3 or 4 tracks, maybe. So, Kevin, what were your impressions when this one came out?
Yeah, I had the exact opposite of you from Blue Sky. In reverse, in 99, that was when I moved back to Baton Rouge and got a job in my field doing some nonprofit work and all, and just didn't have a whole lot of time for music, unfortunately. And so this one kind of slipped through the cracks on me. I picked it up, you know, probably in 2000, 2001, somewhere in there, and got into it and enjoy the album. But yeah, of the 5, this is probably the one that I know the least.
All right. There you go. I don't know if you remember, but he actually put some of the songs or snippets of the songs on his website before the actual record was released.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, being in the 90s, albeit the late 90s, internet was kind of new anyway, and I think musicians were trying to find a new way, sort of trying different things. And but the problem was, since it was in the 90s, I had dial-up internet, you know, so that would cost a lot of money to be connected for too long. So I would just get on there, listen, and then I would disconnect. And but I had sort of a pre-listening experience before the actual album came out. So I love this album. I think the production is such a, it fits his sense of arranging things. I'm not sure, he probably had someone to discuss this with musically, but I mean, the songs and the arrangements are just brilliant on this one.
And he has different types of songs too, right? You know, we've got the rockers, we've got the ballads, we've kind of got the in between as well. You mentioned this came out right before the millennium, and right, the opening track is called Millennium Blues. So, you know, hitting that,
that is
good. Hitting those themes right away, right?
Yeah. And I remember on Swedish radio, the track that they played before the record came out, I suppose that was a promo like you did back in the days, you released a promo single, because there were no singles as far as I understand from this one, but a promo one, and that was What Matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't that convinced when it was played on the radio. It does fit a lot better into the context of the whole album, I believe, but I was a bit disappointed when that came out. But then when I listened to the songs on his website, I was a lot more enthusiastic, I have to say.
There's a lot more reverb on this album too, right?
But,
I think this the most reverb heavy
yeah, if you compare Girlfriend to this one, it's two different ends of the reverb scale.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
100%.
Well done. Of course, as you said, the opening tracks, they sort of bleed into each other, and there's a mix of different feels to them, although still coherent somehow.
Yeah.
And there are some nice ones, If Time Permits, which is the second track. It's a lovely, lovely song. I really enjoy that one. But the one, well, if I'm going to go for the first song that I've picked from the album, and then I'd love to hear what you guys, what tracks that you think are the standout tracks. Once again, I'm going to say that this is one of my favorites. This could very well have been written in the 60s by the guys in the, where were they, in the Brill Building? I mean, it's got that 60s vibe to it, and fantastic production and arrangement. And it's called I Should Never Have Let You Know. Did you guys listen to the bass line?
You know it.
That was not Matthew Sweet playing the bass. That was Carol Kay.
Oh, that's right, Carol Kay. Oh.
The legendary Carol Kay.
Yep.
Such a good bass line.
On a 60s influenced tune like that, right? It just completely fits. You know, I like how it starts with kind of the instruments just kind of collecting themselves a little bit, right? And then you get more of that studio chatter count in, and then boom, you go, and you got the keys and the harpsichord and that bass, you know, riding. Oh, it's
marvelous.
Fun song.
Yeah. Yes, it is a fun song. And there isn't really, I mean, the structure of the song, there's not really a chorus. The verse is the chorus somehow. But it's still so catchy. Love it. Absolutely love it. So what do you guys think are the standout tracks on, if you pick one or two, or do you have more than that?
I mean, I like some of the rockers on this one too. Like Faith in You, which I don't know, just the guitars there, the heavy guitar that comes in on Faith in You, really works for me. Split Personality is another like rocker on that one that just kind of is a driving song.
And that sounds a bit like his previous stuff, Split Personality. Yes.
Yeah, it does.
I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And because there's such a variety of sound, you know, I mean, if time permits me, like, as you mentioned, that's a beautiful song. Yeah. And Untitled later on in the album too. It's a shorter little song, more acoustic and quiet.
That's beautiful.
That one appeals as well.
Yeah.
Kevin, what about you?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on Faith in You. I think that one could have been even on Blue Sky on Mars. It would kind of fit that album a lot. Another one I like is Future Shock. That one's got a definitely different feel to it, but definitely one that kind of stands out to me.
Yeah, cool. We should mention also there are 14 songs.
Yeah.
There are. It has some of that, you know, CD bloat to it. But, you know, are there tracks that you would dump, Niklas? Or are you okay with the length of this one?
I think I'm okay. Maybe, I mean, musically, Millennium Blues doesn't really do it for me, the opening track. But it sort of needs to be there anyway because of the theme of the millennium and all that. And then... But the other ones, I don't think I would drop any of the others. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. It's really diverse and excellent listen. Lots of little touches here and there throughout that you can like key in on and even notice however many listens later. And you're like, oh, wait, I didn't realize that little part was there.
Exactly, exactly. I did write down, there are some other musicians on this record. Well, this is bad podcasting because I lost that particular line. sorry about that. But Paul Chastain from Velvet Crush is on here as well.
Yep.
Yep. And I thought I had Mick Fleetwood, but maybe he's on another one.
Yeah, he might have been on an earlier
one. Yeah, I think he was. Anyways, yeah. When I said 14 songs, the last track of the album actually consists of four different songs that are sort of, they are like, what did you say, merged into one.
Yeah, really, kind of really stitched together.
Yeah, really long, almost 10-minute long song. That's called Thunderstorm. I told you guys earlier that I've got the Japanese release from this. He's always been very fond of Japan because the Japanese have always been great fans of his. So I don't really know if you remember, this is his next record in, I think, 2001 or something, Kamagasuki. And that was only released in Japan when he released it at first.
Yeah.
Then, like a year after or something, it was released in the rest of the world.
I know, and I was waiting, like, are we ever going to get that Japanese record? Because I want to hear it. That's a really good album of his, too. But that's not Matthew Sweet in the 90s.
So, no, it's not. You know. But this one is in reverse, and I got my hands on the Japanese version. And as bonus tracks, number 15 to 18 are the four demos of the songs that is Thunderstorm. So I recommend if anyone can get their hands on the Japanese release, that's well worth a listen as well. And... Thunderstorm is actually also my second pick from this album. Do listen to it. It's 9.5 minutes long, and it starts off with the song Thunderstorm, and then it goes into the next song and the next song, and then it goes back to Thunderstorm to end the song. So here's a little snippet of Thunderstorm.
Lost my way into you, and I don't know what else to do but wait for a calm in the storm, hoping it subsides. And nothing is wrong when it rains, even from my eyes. Broke your vision of love as I saw through the sky above, and heaven was windy with change blowing through my time. And nothing is wrong when it rains, even from my eyes. I wait for a calm in the storm, hoping it subsides.
Yeah, so there are two of the songs that are in the one song, so to speak.
Kind of that idea of the ending medley to Abbey Road, right? I mean, it's a different way of doing it, but kind of, you know, creating all those songs together. I mean, those are separate, but, and this one's combined, but it's just kind of that epic scope where you get different sounds. I don't know. I think it's a fantastic closer.
Yeah. It's the sequencing again. Maybe this is a no brainer that you put this one last, but still.
To me, like in classical terms, it's almost kind of like his opus. He just, you know, and it's just a very beautiful turn. The way he put it together was just perfect.
Yeah.
To me, anyway.
I agree, Kevin. Yeah. It really was perfect.
Well, and even though that closes out his last album in the 90s, right? I mean, Matthew Sweet goes on to do plenty of other things. We talked about the Japanese album. He ends up doing the Under the Covers project with Susanna Hoffs from the Bangles, which is...
Everyone needs to listen to those songs. Yep. They are fantastic. Yep. And talking about him doing the vocals, of course, he's doing the vocals with Susanna Hoffs for the Under the Covers project. But, I mean, wow. That's just fantastic stuff.
They sound great together. Mm-hmm. And then plenty of albums, you know, over the years. I think his most recent one came out 22 or 23.
21, I believe.
Yeah, 21.
Cat's Paw.
Cat's Paw, which is another strong album. I mean, he has different sounds throughout. There's steel drums on one of the albums. I can't recall the title right now. Should have done better research, but... we do want to acknowledge, that we are still thinking about Matthew Sweet. He had a stroke still relatively recently, and recovery. He's still in recovery. So we wish the best to Matthew Sweet as he works to kind of come back from the complications from his stroke.
Yes. It's been about just over 18 months since that happened, so
yeah,
thoughts are with him.
Absolutely. But right. Hey, you know, we just talked about five albums that I think collectively we can put up there with some of the best albums of the 90s, right? Like his 90s catalog is fairly unassailable, and would be do well to listen to any of them. I think we all have our, you know, our different favorites and ones that are we regard higher than the other. Some of that comes with where you come into something or where you missed something or whatever. But What an amazing catalog. You know, I mean, to prepare for this, I basically listened from Girlfriend all the way through to the end of In Reverse and Thunderstorm and had a fantastic time.
Oh yeah. And I think we'll probably, no, we're not just probably, we are putting together a playlist for any newcomers to Matthew Sweet. So that'll be a little bit more easy listening than knowing people and stuff like that. So
Yes.
yeah. Sort of his greatest hits.
There you
Right.
go.
Yeah.
Streaming and all now makes it so much easier. So yeah, if you haven't listened to Matthew Sweet, go now, please. Go listen. So good.
Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Justin, and thank you, Kevin, for doing this with me. I really appreciate this talk we've had this week, and yeah, it's been fantastic.
Yep. Great week, great friends, great music. That's what Rockin' the Suburbs is all about, right?
That's right. Thank you, Niklas. Appreciate you putting all this together.
No worries. And thank you, everyone who has listened. And we hope that you can find some Matthew Sweet tunes to your liking. Thank you, and bye.
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 But the problem was that since it was in the 90s, I had dial-up internet, you know. So
Yeah.